My text today is Isaiah 43, the first three verses. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Thanks be to God for His Word. I just saw another one in the bookstore a while back. One of those promises books. You know, the 10,000 promises of the Bible. I'm never quite sure what to think of those books. All the verses that they cite as promises are from the Bible. It's hard to be against a book that quotes the Bible all the time. My problem is seeing how those promises actually work out in real life. When I look at the actual lives of people, I'm often struck by what God doesn't promise. God doesn't promise that our loved ones won't die prematurely, or that our spouse or best friend won't desert us, or that our children won't break our hearts. God doesn't promise that we won't lose our job, or that our crops or neighborhood won't get wiped out in a flood. For all those promises in the Bible, from the vantage point of our day-to-day lives, God really doesn't promise very much. I've come to a sober conclusion over the years of being a pastor and a fellow traveler. I've concluded that at the end of the day, there is only one thing that God really promises us. I will be with you. I try not to repeat myself in sermons, but I know I've said one line again and again over the years. The five greatest words in the Old Testament are, I will be with you. A few years ago, I said that very line during a Bible study I was leading with some neighborhood women in the urban congregation I was serving then. Our group met in the living room of a woman whose daughter had been violently murdered. Seated next to her was a woman whose daughter had also been murdered and whose grandson was in jail. Next to her was a woman whose husband divorced her years ago and left her destitute. And next to her was Jeanette, a woman dying of pancreatic cancer. They all agreed that God doesn't promise a lot in life. They also agreed that this promise is true. I will be with you. And that this promise is enough. It sees you through whatever comes your way in life. A few weeks after that Bible study, Jeanette knocked on the door of my study at church. She explained that she was so intrigued at this simple promise that she had thumbed through the entire Old Testament and copied down every occurrence of it she could find. She handed me these 10 pages, filled with her shaky handwriting. To Isaac in a dream, to Jacob on the run, to Joseph in a prison, God said, I will be with you. To Moses at the burning bush, and to Joshua at the river's edge, to Gideon, to Solomon, I will be with you. From David, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And through Isaiah, in our text today, as the people languished in exile, When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And I was struck anew at this one promise that echoes throughout the Scriptures. Indeed, these first verses of Isaiah 43 were addressed to people who had endured a loss that is really impossible for us in North America to fully identify with. 9/11 in our nation, terrible as it was, leveled two treasured buildings and killed thousands of people. Pearl Harbor, tragic as it was, wiped out a division of the Navy and killed thousands of people. But these words of Isaiah come to people who have lost a city, but not just a city, but a city that would be like us in the United States losing all of New York City, all of Washington, D.C., and all of Rome, if it were a U.S. city. Jerusalem was the commercial center, the political center, and the religious center of Israel. But more than even that, Jerusalem and the temple embodied all the promises of God. Jerusalem in ruins for Jews who knew their story, who knew that their God is the God of the promise. Jerusalem in ruins seemed like the loss of faith itself. And to this hopeless situation, God, once again, yet again, speaks the promise. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I don't know about you, but I know that I have experienced the truth of this promise most deeply. When I am passing through the waters and walking through the fire. But I haven't suffered so much in life, really, especially compared to so many other saints. And that's why this promise means even more to me when I hear others, like the women in that Bible study group, who have suffered greatly, testify that it is true. About a year ago, I preached in a country church just south of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. The theme of my sermon that morning was a variation on I Will Be With You. For the children's sermon, I told a story about when I was a little boy and my third grade teacher's only child, a teenage boy, died in a car accident. I told them how, as a little boy, I was afraid. I was afraid that Mrs. Vanderwilt and her husband would never be happy again, would never smile again, would never see the sun shine again. I told them how, years later, I realized that I was wrong. That just isn't true. That because God was with them, God held them, He healed them, and there was hope and even sunshine again. Well, one of the hazards of being a guest preacher is that you never really know what you're walking into in a particular church. I had obviously touched some nerve in that congregation because the room was totally silent through that entire children's sermon. After the service, I went for lunch to the home of a retired couple, Mr. and Mrs. Koistra. "I have to teach catechism," Mr. Koistra explained, "but Mrs. Koistra will drive you home." She did, and then led me through several rooms in this old, large farmhouse with a potbelly stove in every room, into the living room, where she directed me to a particular chair in front of the fireplace, which she then lit. She promptly brought me a cup of coffee and a cookie and sat down on the couch nearby. "Your sermon touched this congregation today," she said very formally and quietly. And she pointed to the picture on the mantel. "Our son Henry and two teenage boys from our congregation were killed in a car accident 15 years ago. And what you said this morning is true. The Lord is with us, and the sun does shine again." And she proceeded to tell me the story all over again. Mr. Koistra came home and joined in. He went on to tell me what had happened after the service. Without planning it at all, he said, "We found ourselves and the parents of the other two boys together, alone, in the foyer. And we whispered to each other, some through our tears, that what the preacher said was true. The Lord is with us, and the sun does shine again." This Holy Communion with these beautiful saints was not quite over. They led me into the kitchen for lunch. There on this large kitchen table that at one time had seated them and all five of their children sat at one end three simple bowls of soup, homemade soup, a homemade loaf of bread, home-whipped butter, and homemade jelly. The litany of their deep pain, but now faith deeper still, an overflowing gratitude for life, continued over lunch. At the end of the lunch, Mr. Koistra read Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." You know the psalm. He closed the Bible and asked me to return thanks, the way in Dutch piety you ask the guest to close the meal in prayer. I said, "Before I pray, I have to tell you how amazing it is to me that you read Psalm 121 today. For the first 10 years of my ministry, I couldn't read this psalm on a pastoral call. Because too often," I explained, "it looked to me like someone's foot had slipped. And it looked to me for all the world like God had fallen asleep." I explained how I only started using this psalm when I realized that it was suffering saints, most of all, who believed this psalm. Mr. Koistra sat up straight in his chair. Henry's foot did not slip, and God did not slumber. It was clear, between the conviction in his voice and the stare of Mrs. Koistra through the kitchen window and far out into the snowy field beyond, that he said this for both of them, because they believed it. And he said this in order to believe it. It is true. Whatever your lot in life today, it is true. I will be with you. And that is enough. God may not promise a lot in life, but this promise makes it possible for each one of you today, no matter what you face when you walk out of here, to face life with courage and hope and peace and even joy. Emmanuel, God with us. His last words on earth still ring in our ears. Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, you know the needs of each person here today. Give us the presence of Christ. Assure us and strengthen us in the knowledge that we are never alone and that you will be with us always. We pray in the name of him who came to be with us and who now sits at the right hand of God the Father, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.